I'm feeling pretty connected with Joseph today. Joseph is lying in bed trying to sleep, but his mind is buzzing with thoughts and feelings. I bet you've all been there. He's angry because the girl he's engaged to is pregnant, and he had thought that Mary was a good woman, a woman he could trust, but he knows that he's not the father. He's grieving the life that he thought they would share together, the home, the children, that whole future that he had imagined for them. He's worried about what the people in town will say about him. And he's ashamed because he knows that they will shame him for Mary's behavior. He's afraid for Mary. He's angry at her, but he doesn't want her to be killed, as the law would suggest should happen. And he doesn't want her to be publicly shamed. No, he doesn't want to hurt her, but there's no way he's going to marry her either. He can't trust her. So he finally reaches a decision. He'll send her away quietly. She can have the baby somewhere else, and maybe, just maybe, no one will figure out what happened. And so finally, exhausted, he falls asleep. And then, in the middle of the night, an angel speaks to him in a dream. God comes to him. God is with him just as he is in all his turmoil and grief and fear. The angel tells him, "Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." It's not that neighbor down the street. "She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And then the angel tells him that this whole situation is the fulfillment of a prophecy from Isaiah, that a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. I can imagine Joseph thinking, "I know that God works in mysterious ways, but this is downright weird." And then the angel leaves. And Joseph is left with his thoughts and his fears. Can he dare to believe that what just happened wasn't some sort of weird dream, the consequence of too much pizza last night? He knows how the human body works. He knows how often girls get pregnant outside of marriage. He's no fool. Can he believe that this is actually God's work? That through Mary, in Mary's pregnancy, God is entering into the world as a baby that he's supposed to name Jesus? His fears and the damage to his reputation are still with him. That hasn't changed. But maybe, just maybe, he can trust that an angel really did visit him, that God's messenger really spoke to him, that in the middle of his turmoil and his grief and his fear, God is with him just as he is, and that in Jesus, this baby that Mary is going to have, God will be with all of us. And amazingly, in spite of his doubt and his fear, and what he knows to be the improbability, even the impossibility, that what the angel has told him is true, Joseph chooses to believe God's message. Joseph isn't like Mary. He isn't the body that makes a miracle possible. He isn't the bearer of the eternal word. Might seem like he's just the support staff. But he too is an essential part of the Christmas story. He doesn't give birth to Jesus, but he gives Jesus a home and a family and a normal family life. And just think how critical that is to Jesus' life as a human being on earth. It's because of Joseph that Mary has a protector and a provider. Just think how much harder it would have been for her to make it to Bethlehem or afterwards to Egypt without Joseph. It's because of Joseph that Jesus had brothers and sisters to teach him how complicated family relationships can be. Right? He knew. He had brothers and sisters who thought he was crazy. It's because of Joseph that Jesus grew up into a man who could talk comfortably with other men, who knew how they thought and what they struggled with. Joseph taught him what it was to be a human man. Joseph taught Jesus a trade, taught him about business, taught him how to function as an adult. All those important things that fathers do. And how did Jesus learn to read the scriptures? In all probability, it's because Joseph took him to the synagogue and studied the scriptures there with him. Plenty of sermons have been preached about how Mary said yes to God. And there's all kinds of artwork out there about the angel visiting Mary. But the angel visited Joseph too. And Joseph said yes too. And his yes matters. He set aside his pride and his fear, and he did what the angel told him to do. He obeyed God. And he became support staff for Emmanuel. The essential, mostly behind the scenes player who made it possible for God to be with us. Few of us will be Mary, the amazing location of an outright miracle. But all of us are Josephs. God comes to us as we are, in our struggles, in our grief, in our doubt and fear and loss. God is with us in all the mess and complications of our human lives, just as we are. God is with us even when it seems like everything is going wrong and there's no good way out. And God invites us, even then, to help God be present to others, so that God can be with them too. All of us are Josephs. We're called to be support staff for Emmanuel. I'm thinking of some stories I've seen lately, like the immigrant checker who caught a lot of abuse at the checkout line because his English was clearly accented. But when a struggling mom came to check out and she didn't have enough money to pay for all the groceries she had, and she broke down in tears and said, "I'll just take these back," hiding her face in shame. That checker pulled a $10 bill out of his wallet and paid the rest of her bill and said, "Here, you go feed that baby." I'm thinking of the guy in the checkout line who saw what happened and wrote that checker a note saying, "I see you. Thank you for your kindness." And then over the coming weeks, developed a relationship with that checker and learned that he was working two jobs and that he wanted to study to become a neurosurgeon. That he was doing all he could to give back to his family. And that guy in the checkout line was there when someone else completely lost it with this immigrant checker and yelled at him and told him, "Why are you even here? Go back where you came from." And that guy in the checkout line spoke up and said, "You have no idea who this guy is. You have no idea about his kindness and that he's working two jobs and about his dreams." And the guy says, "Shut up, it's no business of yours." And he says, "It's everyone's business to be civil, to be kind." And the rest of the group, who'd been standing there in hushed silence, embarrassed and looking the other way, broke out in applause and said, "That's right." One small act, one choice, and it changed so much. I'm thinking about the stories I've been reading about school staff, and I think many of us knew these kinds of people. The lunch lady who knew everybody's story. The janitor who noticed children's struggles, who kept a stash of extra food for the children he saw going hungry, who helped the struggling athlete study physics, who saw the girl who was suicidal and went and talked with her. Ordinary, ordinary people noticing, caring, acting in the middle of their doubts and fears. Sometimes God comes to us in miracles. Sometimes God comes to us in the very, very ordinary ways. All of us are Josephs, called to be support staff for Emmanuel, for God with us. Can we dare to believe? Can we put aside our doubts and our fears and trust God's promise that God has been with us and God is with us and God will be with us always? Amen. Thank you.